Okay, so we're up to Hamad Aleph. Hamad Aleph, I guess we're still trying to find the Iman Damar of our Mishnah, who holds, we're almost there by the way, the Iman Damar of Mishnah, who holds that that you could put into the guy's hand. Even though it's not Dalad al Dalad, still that counts. You put into the guy's hand. Okay. So the Gemara says, so Ella Amar of Zera. So Hamad Aleph is like 10th line. Right, so if you throw something and some other guy catches it. So, right, that's the case. You throw it basically to another guy. Or you throw it, and another guy catches it. Okay? Amar ha-mekal b'mkom o'v'kibel. If the catcher stands still and catches it, chayav ha-zorek. The thrower is chayav. The ihu avir akira v'hanacha. Because he did it on akira and the hanacha. Okay, which we have to explain, because where do you do the hanacha? But whatever, the same way he normally does hanacha in throwing. I guess he threw it and it landed on the guy. So the fact that the guy caught it is irrelevant. Okay, but the Gemara says if you're Akar, as Rashi explains, Akar Makal Makamo Virat Likrasa Chayfetz Pekibla, but if he runs to it, he makes a running catch, Potter Hazorik. Delo is Avid Hanacha Mikocha. And the thrower is Potter. Because the Hanacha wasn't done through his strength. But through the other guys, I guess. So why does he say Pata Hazorik? And what about the other guy? What about the catcher? So you could say the Chiddush is that the Zorik is Pata. That's not considered a Hanacha Mekocha. But of course the Mekabel is Pata because he didn't do anything. I mean, no, because he didn't do the Akira. So there's no Chiddush. The Chiddush is Potter HaZorek means Zorek is the Chiddush. But I mean, it's funny though. Like, why does Rashi have to say that? You know, you can say that's what he's talking about. But I mean, Shneihem. Or, you know, Zorek, Shindelo, Sovet, Anacha, Mikofa, you know, Ahuka, you know, the Mikabel, Shilo, Avon, Akira. Something like that. Or let me ask you a question. Is it Potter Avalasar? Potter Avalasar or just Potter? So presumably it means Pater Avalasar, because he did Akira, he just didn't do the Hanacha, right?
Okay.
So I'll ask you, is it Pater Avalasar for the catcher? So shouldn't he say Pater Hazorek Veha Megabel? Hazorek, but isn't it, is it Chiddush is only the Zorek? Yeah, but how do you know that the Megabel, that's considered Hanacha? How do you know that's considered Hanacha? That's not a Chiddush? Like the guy who runs and catches it. That's considered like he did a hanacha. I mean, if he just stands there and catches it, he didn't do a hanacha. The other guy did a hanacha.
Right.
Now, if you run and catch it, then that's considered a hanacha. Maybe it's not a hanacha altogether. Maybe that's just not the way hanacha works. So whoever heard of that, it's not a hanacha. Hanacha means you put it down. Who do you know that's a hanacha? So I'm not saying you can't say it is a hanacha, but I mean, that's not a chiddush. That's just like an obvious point. That's a hanacha. I mean, it seems like this. Maybe it is, but. Like, or shouldn't he say Pater Hazorek? Shouldn't say the lowest Avid Hanacha Mikilcho. Shouldn't he say Mishum de Hamikabel Avid Hanacha? Something like that. Right? Shouldn't he say that? I mean, it's not just a low Avid Hanacha. The another country, the Hanacha of, you know, Avad Hamikabel. That's what I'm wondering. Like, is it pshat that like, and now it's basically just 50-50. It's like a case where one guy is hearing on the Tanacha. In which case, Pater, like in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, you are the Mishnah. Because one guy is hearing on the Tanacha, the Mishnah says, Shneihem Paturim. Shneihem Paturim. You don't say, of course, only the second guy, right? I mean, you don't say, only the second guy is Pater, only the first guy, but not the second guy. It's obvious. I mean, the Mishnah says, Shneihem Paturim. So one guy is hearing on the Tanacha, it's Shneihem Paturim. And the reason why is because not necessarily because they're both Avminas, I mean, maybe they are, but because there's a halacha, Pater Avalasar. Avalasar and Darabonim. Pater means two things, Pater Avalasar. So when you say here, So it should say Potter, it should say Pturim, Shnei Pturim, something like that. But it doesn't say that, it just says Potter. So I'm just wondering, I mean, according to this, so I guess it's an afmin, I guess. If a guy's throwing it, so are you allowed to run and catch it? Right? Mm-hmm. Because if you leave it go, then I guess the guy's Mechayev Deoraisa. The other guy. Now if you run after it and catch it, I guess you're going to save him. I guess you get to that other, like, Ravibi's question, you know? Because by you running it, and catching it, you're going to violate it. If you say that you'll violate the Rabbanon, so then maybe you'd argue you can't do it. You can't. That's the quite Ravibi's question. Could you do it just the Rabbanon to save the other guy? But if you say you're not even over in the Rabbanon, so then definitely do it. Run after it and do it. Right. You know?
I think you can in that question.
Better Bibi?
Yeah.
I forgot. I think so. I'm just saying, it's like, it shouldn't just say Hazorik. It's say Potter Shneim, the Hazorik Hudavera Akira, the Amikabel Hudavera Anofa. I mean, that would have been the simplest way to say it, I think. I mean, just spell it out. It just sounds like the Rashi's avoiding that, you know? It sounds that way. So that's the question. So we have to explain that. We have to take that up. I think it's a fair deduction. I can't prove it, but I think it's a good deduction to say. That it means only the thrower is Aser Rabbanan, but not the catcher. Okay, I mean, we'll talk about this. We don't have any svaras in the area yet. I'm just saying purely just from reading the facts. I mean, if you could prove to me that the other way, I'd back off. I don't think it's an absolute raya, but I just think the simplest reading of the thing is from Rashi. It sounds like Rashi's trying to push that. That sounds like to me. Okay. So what's the point? So fine. So this is the bright. This is a statement of Yerusha Shmuel, right? So, Chayim, I'm sorry, this is the same with Chayim, it's a Braisa. So now the Gemara uses this as ammunition. So it says, Amarun kam avaki bel chayev. So what happens if he just stands still and he catches it? He's chayev. The thrower is chayev, right? Right? But it never landed on Makam Dalet. That's why he says, not chayev. Right? So you see, you don't need Makam Arba. So the Gemara rejects it, basically. First of all, that's only Hanacha, it's not Akira. And also, Hanachanami, doing the Pasha Kanfei, the Kibla, doesn't say he catches in the Diganami Hanacha, doesn't say he catches in his hand. In other cases, it says the hand. But he has no hand. Here, maybe he just says that he catches it. Maybe he catches it in his like shirt. He spreads out his shirt so it's Dalet al Dalet, and then he catches it. Funny case, but maybe because look, it's not going into Dalet al Dalet. It's talking a different issue. So, where's Dalet al Dalet? That's the case. That's what it means. You can't prove that it's. Even though that's the case, you don't have the Bryce doesn't say it because that's not the purpose of the Bryce. The purpose of the Bryce is talking about Zorik. So it leaves that out. It understands that you know very well that has to be Dalet al Dalet, and of course he spread it short to be Dalet al Dalet. Right, I think that's a good answer. It assumes that, right. If you tell me that there's no Shita anywhere who says you only Dalet al Dalet, you can't say this is your support of a Brysa to say Dalet al Dalet, because everyone holds by Dalet al Dalet, and he just assumes you know Dalet al Dalet. Right. So if you don't have any backup for the idea that it's dispensable, then that's what you're going to say. So, okay, so now let's analyze that. Let's forget it. So that's, in terms of the way it plays into our Gemara, I think there's nothing much to say. I mean, you know, the Kira Hanacha point is old news, and the other thing about the stretching on his back, I think, just says the chashman of it. But I think we should still analyze the halacha in its own right. It's something that's interesting. It's interesting halacha, this running thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So let's analyze that. What do you think about that? Are there any questions on that thing, that halacha? So what's halacha? If you throw it and the guy stays put, so then it's basically a chayev, because you did a kiran halacha. If you throw it and the guy runs and catches it, so then you're not a chayev. Because the kiro isn't mikocha. That's good. That's good. The first thing is you have to figure out what's the deal with the hanacha of Zrika. Because the standard way that we think about hanacha is you take an object and you put it down. You put it on the floor. Right? It's like a maisa hanacha, so to speak. You know, but in, like, you have a maisa akira, you have a transfer, and then you have a maisa hanacha. Now, you don't have that in Zorik. In Zorik, you just have one maisa. Two maisa. You pick it up, and then you throw it. And then it lands on its own. So, like, where's the hanacha? Where's the hanacha? So what's the answer to that? So the answer, I mean, I have to explain it, but Rashi tells the answer. Mikocho. Right? Because as I was saying, Lo v'anacha mikocho. That the way it works normally is koch. And this somehow interrupts koch. right? The son of drops kacha. But the answer is kacha. Okay, which means you didn't do a maisa anacha, but you, like, I guess, provided the koach of the anacha. Or like David's saying is that it's built into your initial action is that hanacha will take place. Part of throwing is the implicit hanacha, which is going to result. Right? And that's good, because malacha works that way, you know? Malacha works, like, yeah, you're not doing a maisa hanacha, but that's productivity. Is you use the forces of gravity to create a hanacha very far away. Right? How do you create a hanacha very far away? You don't have to actually walk there. But that's the beauty of malacha and productivity. You throw it, and the throwing has a built-in hanacha, because of gravity. And you just provide it with the force of going, and now it's your koach. When it lands, it's attributable to you. That's your malacha. Don't say it landed by itself, or like gravity made it land. You made it land. You used gravity. Right? It's like malacha zora, you know, like you throw stuff up in the air, and the wind blows it out, and it does bora. You know, it separates out the good and the bad. That's a malacha. Malacha is you use forces of nature. Using forces of nature, you don't say that the forces of nature are doing it. That's you doing it. That's your goach. That's the nature of malacha. Malacha, you use that type of stuff. So see, in Zrika, that's where you have the hanacha. It's not a maisa. Hanacha isn't a maisa. Hanacha means that you're changing the makom of the object through your Zrika. Because your Zrika is built into it, a hanacha. It doesn't matter. You don't need a tsura samaisa of Zrika, of hanacha. There's no such thing as tsura samaisa of Zrika, of hanacha. Tsura samaisa of your koach is causing it to rest. You have the change in the location, which is culminated through the hanacha, has to be yours, attributable to your malacha. So it is. If you put it down, of course it is. And if you throw it, it also is. Doesn't matter. In general, that's just a general zrika. Okay, so that's a good question. So Johnny's saying is that who cares if he's running, but the moment he catches it, he's not running. Or maybe he is. Yeah, saying catching anyways. He's catching. He's catching it. And anyways, halacha doesn't say he has to be running while he's catching it. Even if you wanted to argue, while he's running, he's catching it while he's running. But it's not the only case. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say he has to be running while he catches it. It just says he's okay from coma and he runs and then catches it. So it could be he runs and then stops and catches it. Seems to be the same thing.
He moved into position,
right. Seems the same thing. So bottom line is he caught it. Who cares if he runs? Who cares if he's running? What's running up to? He's catching it. Bottom line is other guy's catching it. That's what I think. It's funny. Rashi says, lo sabar hanacha mikochau. You know? It's not true. Right, exactly. Once he throws it, it's going to be anach. I mean, you throw the thing, it's going to land. Now what's the difference? So it'll land here, land there. I mean, bottom line is you say, why did this thing land? It's not because the guy ran towards it. I mean, it was landing. It's true, he happened to change it a little bit, where it was going to land, you know? So it's true, he moved it, you know, he ran, and it was going to land here, and he landed, whatever it is. But, I mean, bottom line is, if you say, whose koach is it? The hanacha is attributable to the guy who threw the thing. I mean, the hanacha, it seems like the other guy is only accidental in the particular location of the thing. But in terms of the hanacha, it seems the hanacha is because of the first guy. You throw it, it's going to land. So why is it not a trivial to kocha, you know? I guess what's Amin Maskana? Apparently the Amin would be that they'd be chayav in both cases, right? I mean, that's what's teaching it. Maskana that is teaching it is that no. I guess there's also another Havmina before the Havmina, right? Which is that in throwing it, I'd be potter altogether. Because if it lands in the guy's hand, maybe you'd argue is that the other guy caught it. You know, that's what's teaching it. Like, let's say the guy, because you could have argued that. If you say the guy's standing still, yeah, bottom line is he's catching it, he's closing his hand and catching it. So maybe you'd say that the other guy is doing the hanacha somehow. But that's the first time you see, no, you don't say that. Apparently you say, it's still, I did the hanacha. Yeah, it seems like that's, you could have tried to argue that, but it's saying that's not true. That's considered your kiri hanacha. That's how I mean of the first case. And in the first case, it would seem is teaching you that if you throw it and the guy catches it, you don't say that he's doing the hanacha. But you say, no, I'm doing the kiran hanacha. And then the second case says, but, so maybe you'd say, even if he runs, I'm doing the kiran hanacha. No, if he runs, then he is doing that, you know? So it's showing you when the other guy is considered involved, when he's not considered involved. If he just catches it, that's not considered, he's not involved. If he runs and catches it, he is considered involved. You know, they're both chidushim. You may have thought he's never considered involved, or he's always considered involved, you know? So it's like an answer that's showing at least like a middle ground. You know? Depends if you're out or not. This just says the point is that what we said is so where's the zri, where's the hanacha when you throw? So we're saying is that's like built into a zrika, is that's like a built-in hanacha, right? Because that's the method by which man does hanachas. Right? So therefore, that's like part of zrika is the implicit hanacha. Right? That's what we said so far. Right? But you could argue with that logic that you wouldn't say that the catcher is doing hanacha, like by the running case. So the running case, he's not doing a maisa hanacha. Maisa hanacha means you place something on the floor. Now, is that a method by which human beings do hanacha? Like is that part of like that's how man does hanacha? Sometimes he sees running objects flying through there and he just runs to them and catches them. Like he's saying that's not a method. Like you can't just say because you're the cause. It's not enough to say the cause. You have to say that there's a maisa hanacha. But a maisa hanacha doesn't have to be like action put object on ground. But you say zrika contains a hanacha. It's a maisa. It contains a hanacha in human categories. But now, if a guy just runs and catches, it's true he's the cause of the hanacha. But who's to say that that has a halachic din hanacha? I mean, halachic din hanacha is sort of din maisa. It's just that certain maisim could be defined as that because of human productivity, which is zrika. That's the tolda. That's one of the. In fact, that's a chiddush. That's a tolda. That's considered a method. But to say a guy running and catching something, so it's enough that you could say that it's enough gia somehow. I gave the other guy's din hanacha. But you're going to say now that becomes a category of a din hanacha? Where's the din hanacha? That's not a method of hanacha in any way. So I can see saying is that that's not a siddur abanan. That's not hanacha. Hanacha is a tzura of hanacha. There's no such tzura like that. That's what I think you say simply is that if you want to learn that, like what we're saying, that there's no, you know, the simple deduction in Rashi that guy's not going to be asur even because it's not hanacha. There are tsuras. I'm just saying the tsura includes the derach of malachas adam, but this is just a fluke kind of a thing. A guy just running and picking a thing off. That's not a derach of malachas adam. Just because it could undo the other guy's hanacha doesn't mean that it becomes a hanacha for you. Because causation alone doesn't make something anacha. It has to really be like a tzuras ma'isa adam of anacha. So you can have a physical action of anacha, which is intrinsically, or you can have malachas adam, the derech of doing it could render it into a din anacha, throwing as a din anacha involved. Because that's the way man does it. That's malacha. Malacha is anacha. But again, that's not a derech. You just down with the cause of anacha through running and picking a thing off. That's not... It's not clear. I mean, it could be you could say there's such a thing like that, but I mean, you have to say it. So I mean, like you say there's no category like that. It's a davar sheino matzoi. You don't say that's a malchas adam of hanacha. It's just a causation, but causation isn't a malacha. Malacha has to be like a real maisa. Let's start back to our thing. So what's the question here about? What's the idea here about if the guy, the difference in the guy runs or he doesn't run? Something like this. I think it's a very natural idea here. Which is that what's the idea of hanacha? Okay? I think it's good with what we've been saying all along here, but is hanacha just mean like it's a state of the object? It's like the object has to be in a state. Rest. And you are the cause of the rest. So I'm just saying, who cares if the guy runs or doesn't run? Either way, you're the cause of the rest. Right? But that's not our idea of hanacha. The idea of hanacha in Hotzah really is the real idea is that the object is here, in this location. But it's only fully in this location if it's a munach in this location. Like, munach is like a property of being in location X. You know what I mean? How is it in location X? In a munach kind of a way. You know what I mean? But there's no... Like, at rest here and at rest there are not the same thing. Because they're accidentally the same, because they're both at rest. But the reality isn't to make... The malacha isn't to make the object a munach. That's not the malacha, to make it a munach. The malacha is to give it a dinu din makom. But the way in which it has that din makom, or relates to that makom, is through hanacha. Okay. All right, good. Ah, so if the reality were to make it a munach, so you're the guy who made it a munach. Who cares? The other guy ran and intercepted it. But you made it, you're the cause of it really being a munach, of it being in that state. You know, but since the really the halacha of Otsah is giving it a new din makom, and it just has to be in that makom in a kavua kind of way, so it has to be a munach. The question is, who is the cause of it being in that makom? Okay? Munach in that makom. But essentially, who is the cause of it being a munach in that makom? So if you throw it to a guy and he's standing still, so you're throwing it at him and he just has his hand out there and catches it. So you say, yours is mekocho, you're the cause of it being a munach in his hand. Because you threw it at his hand. Now it's true that he has to close his hand, but that's apparently irrelevant. Okay, we can get to that. But apparently you say, the reason why it's in this makom is mekocho. Why is it on him? Because you threw it on him. He was just standing there. So you just threw it and it landed on him. He's like a table. Right, so therefore the hanacha is mekochal, right? It's resting in this location because you throw it. But if the guy runs, you throw it, and when you throw it, it's gonna land in location wherever. It has a trajectory. So basically, you're the cause of it landing and having a relationship of a munach in location A. Now the guy runs and catches it, and now it's in location B. So now you'll say, who is the cause of it having a relationship to this location? So the guy who ran there and made it stop, go away from its natural trajectory, and be at rest here. The guy who ran is the cause of it being here, because if it were up to me, it wouldn't have been there. If I threw it, it would have really been elsewhere. But now the other guy came along and was goreim, and his koach is that which determined that it would be a munach here. And again, a munach doesn't, it's true, I would have made it a munach anyways. But the point, that's only good logic if munach is the malacha. So look, I'm making a munach, who cares where? But since munach isn't the malacha is being here or being there or changing the makom of the object. So the idea of it being a munach in this makom is from either from my koch or from his koch, depending if he ran or if he's stationary. I think that the fact that both in the same Rishos is irrelevant, because the real malacha is the changing the makom, right? Rishos is like an added, it's giving it a din makom, where that happens to be in a Rishos or whatever. But the real productivity is like is the din makom. So makom here or makom there, over here or him running 4 feet over or whatever, different makomos. So who's the cause of it being in that makom? Whose koach is it? A munach there. See, munach, that's the point. Munach is a relative to a makom. Munach isn't an underlying substance, so to speak. It's not an underlying reality of a munach. But munach is munach b'makom ploni. A munach b'makom. The munach has a counterpart. It's a relative of a location. So you'll say, who is the cause of it being a munach b'makom ploni? You know, a munach in his hands. Well, he, the runner, is, because it had nothing to do with his hands. The guy who threw it had absolutely nothing to do with his hands. Now it was landing on the floor. Now the guy runs and catches it in his hands. So who's the cause of it? That's the one who's the whose koach did that come from? That came from the koach of the runner. But if I throw it right at a guy and it lands, who's the cause of it being a munach in his hands? It's the guy who threw it, because that's where I threw it. Threw it out of his hands. But I mean, let's think of the havmina. The question was the original havmina that. If the guy catches it, then I wouldn't be chayiv, even if he stands in his place. Is, I think what David said is that you don't. If I throw it on a table, you'll say I caused it to be a munach on the table. But you'd say if I throw it to a person, then you say the person is a catcher. Right? The person is a catcher, and therefore I'm not the cause of the hanacha, but the catcher is the cause of the hanacha. Because the hamin would be that there's a difference between when it lands on a person or it lands on an object. You know, lands on an object, it's a chachza. But when a person is there, it's like a gavra. It becomes a munach through a din of it, like a gavra of a catcher. And therefore, he's really responsible for the hanacha. You know what I mean? That would be the avmin. And therefore, even whenever I throw it, even if the guy is stationary, you don't say that he's, you know, you don't say that I'm chayiv. But apparently it's teaching you, the maskana is, that's what the first halacha is teaching you, is that you don't say that. Apparently he says that if a person is stationary and it lands on him, you say that you're the cause of it. You don't posit like there's a new idea of a catcher, of a munach, of a human being of the makom hanacha. But apparently if you throw it and it lands on a guy, Then you say that was Yarnach. Yarnach was going to, like, that's, I guess that's part of the thing. You throw it to a guy, he's going to catch it. That's just like a natural. You don't say, like, he's causing the Hanach. You throw it on a table, it's on the table. You throw it at a person, that's the way. It lands on a person. You throw it to him. Whereas if he runs, that's a very different thing, because now he's changing the whole Makom Hanach. But apparently, if I throw it to a guy, then I am causing it to be a Munach on the guy. Of course, the guy's going to catch it. That's just natural. You don't say the guy who catches it is, like, actively giving it a Makom. That's like an implicit part of throwing, that you're going to catch it. And that's defined as, I am the cause of it. You don't say that the catcher is the cause of it being in his hand. The thrower is the cause of it being in his hand. It's true, if he wouldn't have caught it, then it would have been elsewhere. But apparently that's like implicit in the action of throwing it to a person, is that you're causing it to be landing, and it's like you can argue, it's like human nature, you're going to catch it, of course. You throw it to the guy, he's going to catch it. That's not, you don't say he's like active. You just say he's just realizing the hanacha of the initial guy. I mean, the Havmina would have been that is. I mean, that's what teaching is. You don't posit that there's a new din hanacha by a person, that the catcher is, Like, when it says the first case, if you throw it and the guy catches it, you're a chayev. I don't think it means only if the guy just stays there motionless with his hand out and you throw it and it happens to land exactly in his hand. Presumably it means the guy's going to move a little bit. Right? So why don't you say that the other guy is the cause of the hanacha? Right, but apparently that you threw it to him, and implicit in throwing it to him is that he's going to catch it. Right? Just like if you throw it into a net, the net is going to catch it, even if it's not, it has a few different places it could go. So you throw it to a person, he's going to catch it anywhere in his vicinity. That's just part of throwing to a person. And you don't say that the catcher is the cause of it being a munach in his hand. The thrower is. It's true that if the guy didn't move, it wouldn't have happened, but that's part of, like, the chatzah shel hanacha of a human being. If you throw it to a human being and he is your table, then it's a moving table. You know what I mean? It's like, but essentially the cause of the hanacha that's built into your throwing is that you're causing it to be hanacha on the guy. I mean, he could have argued otherwise, but the question is, does the Torah recognize, like, a person as just being like a table and, you know, moving table? Where you say, no, it's a kafa, it's like an active thing, and the hanacha is due to. But I guess, yeah, right. I guess I don't know how they know that. But that's the first part of his halacha. But now that you say that the person is not the cause of the anacha, you know, the person that the catcher is not the cause of the anacha, that's only, apparently he's saying that's only if he doesn't run. So you can't say that he is the cause of the, that if he runs and intercepts it, that you don't say. Apparently, you know, when I throw it, it has a natural trajectory, and that's koveya, it's makom anacha. Now if the other guy runs and intercepts it and gives it a new makom hanacha, you can't say that I'm the cause of that hanacha, because that has nothing to do with my action. It wasn't implicit. You say it's implicit in my action, the guy's going to catch it. Throwing at him, it's implicit, he's going to catch it. You can't say implicit in my action, I throw it, he's going to run, and some random guy is going to run and intercept it. It has nothing to do with my action. I'm just throwing it over there. And now the guy comes and runs and catches it earlier than it was going to land. That's, once he runs, now he's the koach, which is responsible for it to be a land to rest there. But again, still, I wouldn't say it's a ma'isa hanacha for that guy, because it's not a derech hanacha of human being, so it's not gonna be pater avasa for him, because that's not a tzuras hanacha. I mean, but you do say that it's not mikocho. That's what I'm saying. It's not mikocho anymore, because my koach would have been implicit. The hanacha, which is implicit in my hanach, in my akira, my tzrika, was never realized, and a different hanacha took place. You know, a different hanacha. Now, let's say someone asks, let's say I throw it, so do it. When I throw a ball, I know exactly where it's going to land. Like, you know, let's say, like, I'm trying to throw it, you know, is that the halacha? Like, I'm picking that makom? Like, where it lands? Is that, you know, I throw it, I think it's going to land there, and it lands a few feet over. You know, whatever, something like that. Is that you say it on butter because I planned there and not there? Yeah, the answer is that's das, that's a different idea. What it's saying is my action of throwing has a natural trajectory. Now, if you knew the laws of physics, that's where it's going to land. Now, the fact that I was intending to do a different place, that's a question of das. But in das, that's just a quantitative thing. You don't say that it's not, I don't have das because I landed a tiny bit over from where I thought it was going to land. That's not a lacking in das. That's a quantitative thing. It doesn't matter. Essentially, I threw it, and I knew it was going to land thereabouts. You don't throw a thing. You don't pick a specific exact, you know, exact location. In terms of your das, that is your das. Your das is that'll land around there, you know. But in terms of but in the maisa of throwing, Ezrika, there is a trajectory. And there, it is koveya makom hanacha. Wherever it ends up landing, that was where, that was implicit in, when it ends up landing there, it's attributable to my koach. And that was implicit in my action. I may not have known exactly where it was going to be, but there's the hanacha is that which was built into my action. But if the other guy runs, some extraneous thing, the other guy runs and intercepts it, that has nothing to do with my action. Then there's a new makom hanacha, which has nothing to do with my action, and it's mekochav. It's when the other guy's koach, you know? That's a good question. It's like, if you're throwing it, and you want him to be running to catch it, like, you know that he's running. It's not just on this case, it's like, the way we're envisioning the case is you throw it and a guy comes and intercepts it. But let's say you're actually throwing, like, a lead-on pass. That's what they call it, whatever they call it, like a over-the-shoulder pass, right? Over-the-shoulder, that's what they call it, right? You throw it, he's running, and you know that that's your makom hanacha. Like, does it go by, like, what you know, or does it go by, like, the intrinsic in your hanam amaisa is he was going to land way down there, now he ran. Like, the fact that I knew it through my das that he was going to do it, I don't think that's going to make it into the makom hanacha. Because it's not a das phenomenon, it's an objective phenomenon. Objectively, I'm throwing it, it's going to land way down there. The fact that the guy runs is extraneous, and the fact that I knew he was going to run is also extraneous. Because you're talking about what's implicit in the action, not what you're thinking. It's not a das. That was the premise of the other question. So it's not based on das. It's based upon the intrinsic, the reality of the maisa and what's built into the maisa. Yeah, I think that's true. That makes sense. Question: like, let's say an animal comes and intercepts it. So I think it's gonna be the same thing. Because I'll tell you why I put it with Rashi. Because Rashi doesn't say it's because the other guy did it. He says just the lowest of it. Like here, anacha mekocho. So it means it's not mekocho. It's not because you need like another guy to be a poter you, to pater you. It's just that it's not mikocho anymore because now it's mikocho thing. So why can't animals have koach? It's not an idea of das or anything. It's the idea is it's not my koach anymore. Rather, it's the koach of the animal that ran and snatched it. So I mean, right, I guess if you throw a thing to your dog and your dog ends up catching it, and I throw a frisbee to your dog and he catches it, then you'd be pater. But if he doesn't catch it, then you're going to be chayav. So you've got to be careful there. I think that's the big move here is to realize this idea, which we've already always had, that munach isn't just a din, a state of rest, but it's a din of a relationship to location. Which I think isn't a new idea. I think some of you just forget it, because this is the natural way of looking at rest. It's like you can't help it, so to speak. You fall into that trap and thinking like rest is an underlying reality. But you forget about, nach. You forget about the fact that the context which this whole thing fits into. And then it makes sense once you have that context.